everyone, and welcome to the final episode of the session series for the 2024 legislative session. As always, we're your host, Kayla Robertson.
And Katie Duvall.
So we're starting out Sine Die with a little bit of a slow morning. It's currently a little bit after 3 o'clock, and we haven't seen just a ton of action, but that's okay because we still have, what do you think, 9-10 hours left to go?
We still have until at least midnight, I would say. You're right. It's been a slow morning. The House kind of got moving a little sooner than the Senate did. They had their privilege resolutions, their doctor of the day, their chaplain of the day, all the things. I think it was probably a little after lunch that they actually started hearing bills. Then, of course, they had to take a break for lunch, too. So both the House and the Senate have stood at ease for a little while. Everyone's gone outside, gotten some fresh air. I personally have done a couple laps around the Capitol. But they're picking up, and we've had a couple supplemental rules meetings already this morning, so I'd say we're kind of in it for the long haul.
A lot of people I know actually have already left the Capitol today because their bills have made it through and have gone, so they went ahead and dipped out, but I think that we'll be here probably all night. So
we were here until about 11:30 on Tuesday for Legislative Day 39, so yeah. We've had a couple long days already leading up to this, so some folks, especially if they only kind of represent one interest, They may have had all their bills passed out, and they can wipe their hands clean and go to spring break.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
So we did see, just before we hopped on, one pretty major piece of action. So this is where things are going to kind of start to pick up. We have mentioned, of course, several times the data center bill, the film credit bill, and then there's one other tax incentive bill.
Low-income housing.
Yes. Yeah. So they all just got shoved together. The legislative process gets kind of crazy around this time because everyone's trying to get their bills passed, and so things just kind of start getting thrown together. So, Katie, I'll let you explain a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so this is what's called like a Christmas tree bill. It's where as long as the language fits into the same code section, it can be put into a different bill as long as that bill is in the same code section. So this bill that we just saw come out of House Rules was a substitute where a bill had already kind of come through and wasn't moving any further. They were able to kind of hijack it. And now this bill has a little bit of film, a little bit of low-income housing, and a little bit of data centers, which of course is already passed. So it's very interesting to see what they're going to be doing with this because they have taken language from a bill that has already passed and put it into another bill, which makes me have a lot of questions about what the intent is behind that. But that's why we're here. And that's why we have to pay attention to these substitutes because things can get snuck in kind of last minute, and you got to stay on top of it, or you may not be happy with what happens. So we're really interested. And that bill was pretty thick. Like I said, it had three different kind of tax areas in it. So we've got folks upstairs right now looking through it to see the implications for the film community, especially, as well as low-income housing and the data centers.
Yeah. Yeah, because these are three bills and three priorities that a lot of people are interested in and have some pretty big implications for the state. So we will make sure to keep you updated. But other than that, we are just going to stay on top of all of our other priority legislation that we're still waiting to get passed out. What do we have left out there, Katie?
I personally have two tax bills left, two of the speaker's tax package bills that kind of came out at the beginning of session. We're waiting to come out of the Senate right now. The homestead tax exemption bill and the child care deduction bill. There's also Rick Jaspers's House Bill 617, which codifies the state freight plan. We're still waiting on that one to come out of the Senate as well. So staying on top of those. It's going to be a long evening, but we're here. We're here for the long haul.
We'll be back shortly with another update. All right, we are back. It is just a couple hours later, and we still haven't seen much movement on anything, so it's a lot of hurry up and wait around here today. So we're just going to give you an update on a few of the things that we saw earlier this week.
Yes, so we had a pretty big calendar in both the Senate and in the House this week, and it's kind of been split up over the past couple of days, trying to fill everything out before Sine Die tonight. But earlier this week, we did have a couple bills passed. One, of course, is a tax bill that I got to talk about. And then one of the bigger bills that we've been talking about this year, House Bill 1172, also passed out. But I'll start with the tax bill. House Bill 808, again, I think we've talked about this almost every single week that we've recorded. That's that tangible personal property tax bill that increases the exemption from $7,500 to $20,000. It passed out of the Senate unanimously. I think I told you last week that it got held up and came back for a reconsideration vote. So whatever issues there were resolved over the weekend, and it came back and passed out unanimously. So it'll be moving on. You'll see it on your ballots this fall. It'll be a ballot referendum. So y'all be sure to vote for that so that you can get your tangible personal property tax rate increased this fall. We also had House Bill 1172 by James Pershett pass out of the Senate earlier this week. And this bill, of course, balances those private property rights with the public's ability to hunt and fish on Georgia's navigable waterways. So we're excited to see that come out. That was a bill that we took a position on behalf of our agribusiness friends, and it came through our Energy and Environment Committee. So we're glad to see that pass out.
Yeah, again, and that's one of those bills that we've been talking about for a couple of years now. So it's good to finally have a conclusion there with that bill, and we're happy to see it pass.
Yes, I know our guests from the crossover episode will be really excited about that one as well.
All right. Well, hopefully we will see some action on several of our bills coming up here shortly. So as soon as we know a little bit more, we will be back for an update.
See y'all in a few.
Hey, everyone. We're back for another update, and I'm excited that we have a very long overdue special guest with us here today. President and CEO of the Georgia Chamber of Commerce, Chris Clark. Chris, welcome to the session series.
Thank you very much, Kayla. I've enjoyed the series, and I'm so honored to be here on the last episode. Or is this the last episode?
It is the last episode of the 2024 session
series. I'm happy to be here.
So all session long, me and Katie have been providing updates on legislation that is important to the business community. So from your perspective, what do you think our biggest legislative accomplishments have been this year?
So I think it's been a very good session for the business community. And I think when we look at our three pillars for the Georgia Chamber, we look at infrastructure, competitiveness, and workforce. We've had some significant progress there. From a infrastructure standpoint, very happy that tonight at the General Assembly, they passed the freight and logistics codification of our study committee. And I think when we saw what happened in Baltimore over the last few days, really drives home the fact that we need to be investing in long-term freight and logistics for Georgia. From a workforce standpoint, we still have a couple of bills we're working on tonight, but second chance hiring has been passed, a high demand career initiative. And then a bill that's very important for our military families out there is a bill that allows a spouse of a military man and woman who's been transferred to Georgia to bring with them their occupational license and immediately go to work. This is a long time coming, and we're so excited to get that passed. And then from a competitiveness standpoint, one of the big issues for small businesses and for families has been the fact that we have one of the highest insurance rates in the country. And so we passed two bills this session, one on direct action and one called bad faith, that'll hopefully stabilize the insurance rate market and make it a little easier for our families and small businesses. And then I'd love for Katie to talk a little bit more about some of the great bills that we passed from a tax standpoint that I think really do matter to our members.
Thanks, Chris. We've taken positions on probably 20 different pieces of tax legislation this session, but two in particular I think will be really beneficial to the business community. We had House Bill 1015 by Lauren McDonald, which accelerates that personal income tax cut rate by 10 basis points to 5.39% for the 2024 tax year. Kind of on the same page, we also had House Bill 1023, which aligns the corporate income tax rate with the personal income tax rate, again, effective for tax year 2024. So assuming that the governor signs both of these pieces of legislation, we'll see Georgians being able to save money both on their personal income tax and their corporate income tax.
Great, great bills to pass, and really appreciate you and the team working on it year-round down here. And I do think a lot of our members maybe don't know that we've got a full-time team working year-round, building relationships, working on study committees. Our foundation is working on policy recommendations, data studies that the General Assemblies rely on, and we're literally down here every day with all of our other members coordinating, working together, partnering together, usually to do good things every now and then to kill a few bills that are bad for business. But I appreciate Democrats and Republicans this year, the Speaker and the Lieutenant Governor, James Beverly and Glory Butler, who are both retiring this year, have just been great partners and great friends in all the work that we've done down here. It's really been a good partnership.
We look forward to working with everyone through their campaign cycles as we endorse a few candidates and move towards the elections in November.
And if people want to know more about how the bills that they cared about ended up, they'll be able to visit the Georgia Chamber website, right? Probably in a week or so after we figure out where everything is.
Yes, we'll be cleaning up our scorecard. They can find that at gachamberscore.com.
Hey, everyone. We're back for our final update on Sine Die. It is currently 12:58. Very close to 1 a.m., and the Senate adjourned about 10 minutes ago, and the House is still going. So yes,
I think they may be adjourning as we speak. They were finishing up and agree for one last bill that had gone over to the Senate and been amended, and they were waiting for it to come back to the House. So they are hopefully about to wrap things up here.
And we did see movement on a couple of bills tonight, but nothing major, none of our larger position bills. So we will come back to you hopefully next week. We're going to sit down and kind of compile everything and give y'all an update of the full legislative rundown from Sine Die. But it's been a long day. It is close to 1 a.m., so I think we are going to pack up and head home for the final time.
We said it was our final episode. It's definitely our final episode, and I'm going to interrupt for just a second. I am seeing the TV now, and they are throwing up the paper in the air. So the House has adjourned. It is, let's see, 12:59, so just a minute later, they are adjourning Sine Die. But yeah, we'll be coming back hopefully in the next week or so with an episode, like you said, recapping everything that happened this session, talking about the governor's 40-day veto period, kind of looking forward to what that looks like. And then throughout the summer, hopefully we'll be coming back with some candidate interviews and that sort of thing.
Thank you, everyone who tuned in for the Session Series podcast. We very much appreciate our listeners, and we will talk to y'all again soon.
See you soon.